Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
This is what I say about the Holy Spirit. He is the game changer. In my life, in your life, he's the game changer. He also levels the playing field. When you get on a playing field that's tilted in the wrong direction against you, he can level it for you. I had that experience, and maybe I'll tell you part of that, through one entire year when I was in graduate school. I went to grad school to get a master's degree in mathematics because I was a teacher. But what I really did was I had a year of experiencing the Holy Spirit at a level that I had never known him before and had never experienced him do. And because of that, it gave me great faith to understand him and to know what he was capable of in my life and what he could have done if I would have allowed him. But because we don't allow him, out of our ignorance or our I can do this or whatever it is that gets in our way, we, in the body of Christ, I'm convinced, do not experience the level and the things that the Holy Spirit would like to do in our lives if we just practiced letting him. Practice letting him. When I was first filled with the Holy Spirit, I'll never forget the pastor saying to me, "Now, you can prophesy." And I thought, huh. And he said, "Okay, let's just pray and you prophesy. Serious." So I prayed and voila, I heard and I prophesied. So the Bible says that. And if we practice it and if we'll just stop and stop messing with all the things in our heads that hinder him, it is phenomenal what we can do, what he can do through us. So I'm just going to start through some scriptures and talk about some areas and some things in our lives and some places in our lives that the Holy Spirit really wants to have and to invade because he wants to manifest himself. He wants to bring more glory to Jesus through you, and he wants life to go well for you, even when it's not going well. Do you understand that? He wants it to go well, even when it's not. And we all have times in our lives that it's not going well, but if we let the Holy Spirit carry us, even in that, it can go well. So, in Genesis chapter 41, it says, this is concerning Joseph. So Pharaoh asked them, "Can you find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" Interesting, Pharaoh was a pagan. He was a pagan, but somehow or another, he recognized the empowerment of the Spirit of God. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you." Now let's take a moment and let's really not just fly by that scripture, but let's think about what was going on. What was the Spirit of the Lord doing? The Spirit of God was working in Joseph, and he was allowing it long before this incident. He was allowing it long before he was thrown into the pit. That's how he survived the pit. He was then sold into slavery, and he survived that and prospered in it. Because why? He allowed the Spirit of God to move through him. He resisted sin because he allowed the Spirit of God to move through him. As a result of that, he was rewarded with prison. Yeah. Lots of times in the Bible, contrary to what we think, doing good and doing right doesn't always instantly produce what we thought. Like, are you kidding, Lord? Like, are you kidding? Paul and Silas are out preaching the gospel. You remember that story? And they get beat up and thrown in prison. Oh, I don't even want to. I don't even want to tell you. I would be so embarrassed to tell you what I would have been saying. Are you, oh, really, Lord? This is what I get? Well, I'm done. How many times do we as believers go there, that that's our go-to when it doesn't go well? You know why it's our go-to? We're not allowing the Spirit of God to have his way. Because in prison, in both of those prisons, God did fabulous things through these men because they allowed the Spirit of God. I want you to know that Joseph had no hope of getting out of there. I want you to wrap your mind around that. He had no hope of getting out of there. But he allowed the Spirit of God in him, and he was even promoted in the prison. Now, how crazy is that? He had no hope of getting out of there. But when Pharaoh was in trouble and in need, and none of the gods of Egypt could come through, now this is what God had been up to in Joseph's life. But he didn't miss the opportunity because he had allowed the Spirit of God to work in him in the pit, in Potiphar's house. And in the prison, none of them nice places. It was over a period of 7-some years. No hope. Just a man that said, it doesn't matter. You are God in the Spirit of God. And I'm going to serve you. And I'm going to allow you to use me. You know, it would have been something had they come and said, hey, you, I understand you can interpret dreams. Well, I used to be able to. But, you know, God's forsaken me. You know, he really didn't come through. And so I gave that up, and I don't think I can do that. If you give me some time, maybe I can get my act together and I can do this. No. It had to be instant. And in the instant, Joseph said, I'm the man. Why? Because of the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. We used to call him that. Nobody calls him that today. He was a Holy Ghost when I was filled with him. I learned that Holy Spirit thing later, and then I learned that we just called him the Spirit of the Lord. But he was the Holy Ghost in those days. Anyway, Joseph had allowed the Holy Ghost to have his way in his life. And when he was called on, instantly. And instantly he went to the right hand of Pharaoh. Because why? He had all manner of wisdom, discernment, and understanding. Because he had allowed the Spirit of God to work that in him. He had practiced it. And it became a natural flow in him. I want you to think about that. God's working all things. All things. Do you like that? I don't like it, but it's a word. God's working all things. He doesn't say they're all good. Some people misinterpret that and misquote it. He's working all things for our what? and his what? Can you see that in the pattern of Joseph's life? Because he let the Spirit of the Lord have at him and work through him. When he was tempted, I always like to think this. Now, stay with me and don't get nervous. I always like to think that Potiphar's wife was hot. I mean, if she was an ugly bag, then the story's not good. Right? Come on. I think she was hot. I'm just going to tell you that's what I think. Because it makes Joseph a bigger hero in my heart. But even at that moment, he let the Spirit of the Lord, and we'll talk about it later, do his work in his life, which was conviction. Even when he goes, excuse me, who's ever going to know? Come on. All there are around here are pagans, and God's forsaken me anyway. So what difference does it make? No, Joseph let the Spirit of God work in him. And he didn't miss. He didn't miss. Think about it. Think about God is working in you. Let the Holy Spirit work. If he can't work in the junk, you're never going to be able to do the big stuff. It just is what it is. And Jesus, you may not like this either, but I just need to say this to you. God allows a certain amount of junk in our lives. He does. He does. He tries us. He allows a certain amount of trials in our lives to give us opportunity. To give us opportunity to let God bring great glory in us and through us so that when you can come through those deep places, do you think being the prime minister of Egypt was difficult for Joseph? It was not. It was not. He'd survived well prison. He'd survived Potiphar's house. He had survived the pit and the hatred of his brothers. Do you see that? I mean, he cruised. He was in the easiest place ever being the prime minister. But he could have never done that had he not allowed the Holy Spirit working in his life. Okay, Exodus chapter 31, it says this. Then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah. Whoa. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, knowledge in all kinds of crafts. Now, what does this scripture mean to us? You know, if scripture can't live in the now, I can only put up with so much history. I actually like history, but come on. If this word can't live in my now, what does that scripture mean to me? That scripture says that God, by his Spirit, has invested in us his purpose for our work. Work. He's invested it in us. Whatever skills he's given you, he gave them to you. And he gave them to you so that you might allow him to move through them to bring great glory to God. Now let's talk about how that works. Whatever you do for a job, God wants, by the power of the Holy Spirit, wants to be right in there with you. This is a mistake we make. We go to work and we leave him. The best place we might leave him is in the car. Some people leave him at home, and some people left him at church. I'm serious. He wants to go with you. He wants to empower you to do an incredible job so glory can be brought to God. Do you see that? That's why the best people are not ministers. The best people are people that are working in the culture that can demonstrate through who they are and how well they work and how honoring they are of others that the God they serve is the real deal. Do you see that? Now, let me come around to you and let me say this. One of the things that makes me extremely nervous is Christians that gripe and complain and do other things about their job. It might be your pit. It might be Potiphar's house. It might be your prison. But let the Holy Spirit have at it. Stop griping. Stop complaining. God gets no glory from Christians in the workplace. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, by the way, could you come to the Easter play? Oh, sure. Sure. You're as big a hypocrite as I am. I'm going to go with you? Do you understand what I'm saying? God has put you there that the Holy Spirit moving through you can bring great glory to His name. Pastor George and I love it when this happens. We're out and about in the community and somebody says, oh, I know somebody from your church. We hold our breath. I'm being honest. We hold our breath. You know we hold our breath. And they'll name somebody and say something fabulous about them. And we go, wow. I'm just going to tell you this. I'm standing in the line at Safeway. And the man in front of me is on his cell phone. And he's talking so loud, it's not like I can pretend like I'm not hearing. He obviously was a lawyer, and he was ticked at the judge. And he's telling this other lawyer pretty much how stupid this judge was, how he didn't really know the law, and that, yes, he'd like to go golfing, but he cannot because this judge that has no idea what they're doing, blah, 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 blah. So when he got off the phone, I just stepped into the car. I said, wow, you've had a tough day. He said, yes, I have. And we started talking for a minute. And I said, I don't remember how I got to it, but I said, is this a state case or a federal case? Well, right away, he thought I knew something. Because he thought, wow, you know the difference? I said, yeah. I said, I actually know a federal judge well. And I said, it's Judge Hagerty. Do you know what he said? His whole demeanor changed. And he said, he is one of the good guys. Michael Hagerty's a judge. Just letting the Holy Spirit move through him and being a great testimony for Christ. Always a proud moment. I stood up taller than I had before. No, serious. That we allow the Holy Spirit to work. You can take that in your neighborhood. You can think about that in a lot of other places of your life. But God has given you the skills. Don't curse your skills. Don't curse what God is trying to bless. God wants to bless you, and when you curse the place you work, ha! Not smart. Not smart. Because the Holy Spirit not only wants to bless you, but He wants you to be a great light, that when the opportunity is there and crisis hits, somebody will come to you and say, I know you're different. Will you pray for me? Deuteronomy chapter 34. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Now, as I looked at this scripture, something came to me that I'd never thought of before. I've read this scripture before. I don't know. Joshua might have been a natural leader. He might have been. There's nothing in the text that tells us that. But he was chosen of God. He was chosen of God. And because Moses laid his hands on him, and the Spirit of the Lord imparted from Moses leadership, Joshua could lead. When you're looking for people to follow, look for that. Charisma is one thing, but charisma can be dangerous. It can be dangerous because people with charisma can convince you at times, and before you know it, you're down a road you wish you hadn't gone down. But godly, anointed leadership, I promise you, Joshua was a man of character, and therefore God imparted that to him. But it was the Holy Spirit. Look to follow that. Learn to know the Spirit of God and follow the Spirit of God. Don't follow the cultural trend. Don't follow who knows what you could follow. But Joshua could lead because the Spirit of God came in him and made him a leader. The Spirit of God came in him and made him a leader. Judges chapter 3. The Israelites did evil. Let me go back to Deuteronomy. I want to say something here. And it also is going to fit in the next scripture. This is something we need to learn. Is to look for where God's leadership anointing is when we're looking for people to lead us in our government, in our churches. And let me just tell you, your children are looking for that. That's a safe place for children when they can see that because of your godly character, God has dropped his anointing on you. And you will be one of those parents that your kids, when they are older, will still look to versus, I don't ever want to be like that. Judges chapter 3, the Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and the Astarts. You know, it's interesting. Judges is a great book, but it only people and enemies and conquerors are changed. It's the same story. Same story. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They turned to other gods. I don't know how many times it says it, but it's the same cycle every time. The anger of the Lord burned against Israel so that he sold them into the hands of Cushan Rishatham, king of Aram Naharamim, to whom the Israelites were subject for 8 years. Now, why did God do that? Because they were his people, and he had a plan for them. They were to demonstrate to the world who he is. And they were screwing up by worshiping false gods. And God was mad, but he loved them, and so he allowed this. He allowed it. He caused it to happen. He caused it to happen so he could get their attention. But when they cried out to the Lord, he raised up for them a deliverer, Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, who saved them. Now listen to this. The Spirit of the Lord came upon them so that he became Israel's judge and went to war. The Spirit of the Lord on him gave him the capacity to govern and to wage war. Now, it may make you nervous, but in a perfect world, leaders would not have to wage war. But have you noticed? It's not a perfect world. Did you know that 12 young boys in Iraq were murdered, were slaughtered for the crime of watching a soccer game by ISIS? It's not a perfect world, friends. And God put the anointing on Othniel to wage war. Now let's see what happened. The Lord gave Cushan-Rishathaim, which means double wickedness, king of Aram, which is a citadel or high place, he gave them into the hands of Othniel, who overpowered him. God gives an anointing to defeat wickedness and to take down the high places. That's an anointing that's in the spirit as well as in the natural. God has given it, if you will allow him, to every one of you to wage war against the spiritual entities of darkness that are wicked. And you have authority to take them down and to destroy their strongholds. The problem is, we don't take our authority. And we run and wring our hands instead. Othniel said, come, bring it on. Bring it on. If you think that you're going to hold my people captive, you better think again. God's looking for some Christians filled with the Holy Spirit that are saying, if you think you're holding my family captive, you better think again. Bring it on. And I'm not being arrogant, and I'm not telling you you act arrogantly. I'm telling you you act in the authority of the Holy Spirit that God wants to invest in you. We need to say, I'm mad, and I'm not taking it. And as long as I have breath, I'm resisting you. As long as I have breath, I'm resisting you. And so, he overpowered them, so the land had peace for 40 years until Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. Think about that. He waged war, and peace came. And the devil knew, you don't cross it here, friend. Othniel's very presence told the devil, you're not going anywhere. God's looking for some Christians who are willing to be filled with the Holy Spirit and not be ignorant and scared to death of the devil and not be arrogant, but saying, you're not crossing it. Here's the bloodline in my house. Here's the bloodline in my church, and you're not crossing it. You're not having my kids. You're not. You're not. And as long as I have breath, I'm resisting you. You have authority. That's another whole message. But you've got authority. You've got authority. And God's looking for us to let the Holy Spirit move in us, to quicken us and empower us and show us wisdom how to battle that battle. Let me tell you a story about that. During the Reagan administration, the United States had to go into Grenada and liberate, get American medical students out because it was a coup in Grenada. It was a big old, it seemed a risky thing to do because we were going into a sovereign nation. There were all kinds of things going on. But at that point in time, the Secretary of the Army was a devoted Christian. And by the way, there's lots of people in our military who God has anointed to wage war. And they are godly people. He was a godly man. And his wife had a prayer team for him. And she would call things out to her friends in code, and they'd pray like crazy people. And they were very concerned about this operation. And the prayer team prayed and prayed and prayed. And God gave the secretary of the member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff of the Army a dream and showed him in a dream how to do it. They executed it exactly according to the dream, and we lost nothing. Pastor George and I spent time talking to one of the generals who waged war in the first Iraq war. He told us that when he first got to Iraq, he could not sleep because all he could see was all of these fine young soldiers, and he knew the losses would be horrific. In fact, most people don't know it, but the United States of America sent 50,000 body bags to Iraq in that first war. And one night, one of the chaplains, he was a Presbyterian boy, came and found the general and said, "General, come walk with me." General was a strong believer, and he said, he walked with him and he said, "You know, I'm not used to doing this. I'm a Presbyterian, but I believe God's given me a word." And he said to him, "The war will be short. The casualties will be minimal." And General Griffiths told us he slept like a baby from that point forward. And that's exactly what happened. As God gave wisdom and empowerment and words to wage war. That's one of the things that we need to pray over United States military, that God will give the plans to wage the war correctly. It's in the biblical text. God will do the same thing today. But it's also in the spirit realm. God will give you wisdom on how to wage war. All right. In Luke chapter 4, this is the work of the kingdom. This is a quote, a direct quote from Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," and this is referring to Jesus. But one of the works of the Holy Spirit is to take what Jesus has and give it to us. All right? He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind and to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Now, when it says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the good news of the gospel, most of us as Christians immediately get amazingly nervous, and then we begin with the excuse thing. "I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a preacher. That doesn't apply to me." It's the work of the kingdom. It applies to you. Let me tell you, we are misunderstanding that word preach. It just means to tell the good news. It just means this. If you allow the Spirit of God, if you will let God burden you with the lost, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you and give you a massively creative ways within the realm of your personality and your makeup to preach the gospel and to declare it to others. We are all responsible for that. We're all responsible for it. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to set the captives free." That's deliverance. And the Holy Spirit will move in us and through us. To bring deliverance to others. That's part of the call. It's part of the call of who we are. This is not about me and my and I. We spend, as the American church, everything on me, my, and I. It really has everything to do with bringing glory to God and God's heart for the world, that all men would come to know him. A woman went to Billy Graham and said, teach me, tell me some better ways to pray for my son. He's far from the Lord, and I've prayed for him for years. Could you tell him how to pray? You know what Billy Graham said to her? Pray for somebody else's son. That's what he said. He said, pray for somebody else's son. She did. And this is a true story. 2 weeks later, her son got saved. Sometimes we just need to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is telling us and how he's directing us. Because even in prayer, we can get massively manipulative and controlling. And God's saying, let go. Get out of the party. Let me at it. Just let me at it. Pray over here for a while. Pray over here for a while. Let me at it. And to proclaim the year of the favor of the Lord, most commentators say that's a year of jubilee. We're in the year of jubilee of our church. Acts chapter 2. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. You know, here's I'm not a great theologian. Let me just tell you. I think it's time for us in the church to stop fussing and fighting over whether or not tongues is for today or not. I'm just going to tell you it is. Let me just help you settle it. It just is. You all should be filled with the Holy Spirit. You all should have a prayer language. How'd you like that? I think everybody in Faith Bible Chapel ought to have a prayer language because God will give it to you, and it is phenomenal what it will do. It's not hocus pocus. It's not who prays for you. It's not how they pray for you. It's not what they say. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with you ask, God gives it, amen. That's it. The things of God are not hard. You don't have to have a theological degree. In fact, if you do, sometimes that really messes with what you want to know. But they all begin. Now, phenomenal things happened when they did that. But here's something. Why would you? Why is it, Lord? Why is it that we need another language to pray in? I mean, it like makes no sense because you don't understand it anyway. So you go, wow, how could that be anything? Well, here's another thing that you throw in the mix that even makes it more interesting. In the book of Jude, it says, build up your faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, I do not know how praying in tongues can build my faith, except I'm going to tell you, life experience tells me it does. When I'm discouraged, when I'm down and out, I have found that griping and complaining does not help. And pitching a fit doesn't change anything. I'm almost 70 years old. I know these things. You might be a lot younger. Maybe you don't know them yet. Let me help you a lot. Let me just help you avoid some stuff. It doesn't help anything. But when you pray in your heavenly language, it's a game changer. It's a game changer. Because it begins to change you. Something about that changes us. The Holy Spirit inside of us, activating the specialness of who he is in us, changes us. Changes us. Then in Ephesians, it says, pray at all times. This is at the Amplified Version. On every occasion. Okay, let's talk about that for a minute. Pray all the time, on every occasion. That means when you get up in the morning. That means as you're getting dressed. That means you're praying about what the day holds. That means you're praying about when you need to go to the grocery store. That means you're praying over everything. You're talking to the Lord over everything. He wants to be involved in the everything of your life. He says, praying at all times and every occasion. Some occasions we know we ought to pray for. Other occasions we don't know. And in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayers and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding on behalf of all saints. Now, as I began to pray over an issue that is something that I'm concerned about, this is what I find. If I will begin, first of all, praying in my heavenly language over it, and not using the greatness of my wisdom or my will or my desires, but I pray in my heavenly language, then I find that the English prayer that follows amazes me. And I'm going, that came out of me? Wow. And that's not how I would have prayed it. And then I begin to understand God's will because I've allowed myself to get out of the way and he could speak his will to me. And sometimes to my shock, God's will is not mine. That's how you pray effectively. That's why he gave us that gift. That's why if you haven't prayed in your heavenly language in a while, I'm just going to ask you to stir it up. In fact, I'm going to stop. I sense God's anointing shifting, so I'm going to stop.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.